Thanks for tuning in to the weekly message from Solid Ground Church in Lewis, Delaware. We hope that this time builds you up and helps you take your next steps in your relationship with Jesus. If we can be of any help to you, please visit us on the web at solidground.church. Now let's get to today's message from our senior pastor, Bert Miller.
Hi. Hey, good morning. If we haven't met, my name's Bert. One of the pastors here, guys. Thank you so much for getting up and spending your Pentecost Sunday with us. I want to welcome you guys who are in the room, those you watch online or listen on the radio. Guys, you've picked a fun Sunday to be with us, and we're really glad you're here. We're wrapping up a series today on the Holy Spirit, the forgotten member of the Trinity who is with us right now, who tragically we just don't emphasize the way that we should. And so every week in the series, what we've been doing is we've been asking a different question about the Holy Spirit. So we've talked about, you know, who the Holy Spirit is. We asked, what's the Holy Spirit like? And what does the Holy Spirit do? And today, here's the question. I'm just going to get right into it. So if you want to take notes, there are bulletins in the back of your seats. You can do that. But here's the question that we're going to ask today. Are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me ask that again. Can we put this on the screen here? Here we go. Are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? I say being filled. To sort of get at that point, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the most famous passage on the Holy Spirit in the entire Bible. That is the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, the anniversary that we're celebrating today, when the Holy Spirit was poured on the church at Pentecost. Now, to give you a little bit of background on what Pentecost is and was, and if you're like, I've never heard that word, that's weird, what are you people talking about? Here's what Pentecost is, okay? So you have to remember that the Bible is in two sections, right? You've got the Old Testament to us, the Hebrew Bible, then you've got the New Testament, right? The Old Testament focuses on God's activity in the life of the nation of Israel, and the New Testament focuses on the salvation of Christ. And so you find these two delivering moments, right? In the Old Testament, what happens is this. God delivers his people from slavery in Egypt. He saves them through the ministry of Moses, right? And there's this moment called Passover where a lamb is slaughtered, its blood is put on the post of the door, the firstborn die, and then the people of Israel are set free from captivity. Okay, and then you got about 50 days later, there's this event where God speaks and gives the law to the Jewish people. And so you've got, you know, the Lord come down to Mount Sinai. He says, this is what you're going to do to relate to me. And their way of life becomes the law. This is how you will relate to God in your life. The same way you go to the New Testament, okay? And God's salvation comes at the exact same time. At Passover, you find Jesus died for our sins. The Lamb of God is slaughtered on our behalf. Jesus dies for you and for me to take away every sin that we've ever committed and ever will commit so we can be restored to God. And then so we can know that's true, God the Father raises him from the dead, right? Okay, so the salvation of God happens, and then 50 days later, here's Pentecost. And so Jesus rises from the dead, and he tells his disciples and those who come to believe because of the resurrection, he says, listen, go wait in the city of Jerusalem. Don't do anything. Don't try and go anywhere else. You just wait until you have been clothed with power from on high. And it happens on Pentecost. And this is significant because when the time that the Holy Spirit is poured out is showing us something. This is going to be the brand new way of life for believers. Just as the law was the way of life for those in the Old Covenant, now a life of the Spirit is going to be for those who are Jesus followers. And so in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, our story begins. It says this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind or strong wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, this is important, okay? Some of us are like, what is happening there? Okay, so just something to really note. The word that we translate as spirit from the Greek is the word pneuma. In Hebrew, it's ruach. And basically, it means anything. It's not just spirit in the sense of like something you can't see. It's spirit in the sense of breath, wind. This idea that sort of, right? That's spirit, this sort of outblowing of wind, okay? In the same way that the Spirit of God ascends from God's nostrils, right? This sort of, right, this powerful God who's created everything now comes down into the place where believers are gathered. That's what it's talking about with this idea of the wind. And it continues, it says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And this is an important moment as well, to sort of understand something. That whenever there is within the history of the people of God, a movement of God beginning, it begins with fire. So you talk about the original Pentecost when the Lord came down on Mount Sinai. He comes down in smoke and fire, right? And to the point like the mountain shakes. You know, you go forward to the dedication of the temple. This will be the place where people get together, and this will be the center of the worship of God on the earth. This is where we'll offer sacrifices, right? And if you read in Chronicles, when the temple is dedicated, fire from heaven falls again. You can go forward in the history of the life of Israel when they turned away from God. They're going after the idol named Baal. The Lord is not their God anymore, so God sends this guy named Elijah. And there's this moment, this defining moment where he says, listen, how long are we going to divide our loyalties? If the Lord is God, follow him. If not, follow Baal. Here's what we'll do. We'll have a sacrifice. You guys who are prophets of Baal, you sacrifice to Baal. I'll sacrifice to the Lord. Whichever God answers by fire is the one true God. Maybe you've read the story. So the prophets of Baal, they get together, and their time doesn't look very different from a lot of our worship services. They get really loud. They start amping up. Oh, Baal, hear us, you know. But then they go extreme. They start cutting themselves. They start just like whatever they can, make as much noise as they can to sort of show, okay, this is the real God, right? And Elijah looks at this, and he knows who the Lord is, and he's just like, oh, maybe your God's on vacation. Shout a little bit louder. And he goes, and still nothing. He goes, well, maybe your God's in the bathroom. Just call him a little bit more. Nothing happens. And Elijah goes, okay, all right. Tell you what. I want you to understand who the Lord is. He doesn't need our power. So how about this? Take some water and pour it on where we're going to offer sacrifice. So they pour some water. Okay, pour it again. They start dousing this altar in water. He says, okay. And he prays to the Lord, and the fire of God comes down and consumes all of it, the wood, the sacrifice, everything. Fire from heaven. It's significant of a work of God beginning among his people. Continues in Acts 2. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer for us today. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And you're like, what's happening there? Well, if you go on in the story, what you find is that, okay, because it's Pentecost, it's this Jewish festival, all these different Jewish people from all over the world have gathered in Jerusalem where the disciples are praying, and they all have different languages because they've come in from different points in the world. And so when the disciples start speaking in different tongues, it's the tongues of the people who are there gathered in the city. So they all become perplexed. It's like, we hear these people praising God in our own languages. Like, what is this? And you'd be like, whoa, yeah, that still happens. Still happens, you know. Not to continually highlight him, but he didn't used to believe in this stuff, and now he does, and so I love to just pick on him. My friend Sean McCarthy. I told you about how last week he just got back from Ghana, you know, and there was this point where they were trying to present the gospel to these people who were indigenous there in Ghana, and there's this woman who comes, okay, and she's grown up in this small remote village her entire life, and they're preaching the gospel. She says, yes, I want to receive Jesus, so she comes forward. And when she decides to follow Jesus, guys, check this out, this is crazy. When she decides to follow Jesus, she starts speaking in perfect English, praising God. Doesn't speak English. And so all the missionaries stop and are looking like, what? Because she's like, praise you, my Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit, da, da, right? And they're like, whoa, this woman starts freaking out because she doesn't know what she's saying. What happens? Well, the same Holy Spirit who's in this story, still on the earth, still moving. And what God does is he brings his people together. Okay, this won't be just a segment of people, like an isolated race or isolated class or isolated gender. No, this will be every person that in Christ will be united as a people. That the movement of God through what he's done through his son Jesus will be for every man, every woman, every child. That God wants to bring us all together to unite us. And so he even divides the language barrier. I mean, it's incredible. But it's here that I want to clarify something. You see, for many of us, what happens is this. We read this story, and then we just go like this in our lives. We go, I hope I've got that. And it's sort of reduced to an event, right? So we read Acts 2, and we go, okay, that's when people receive the Holy Spirit. And for many of us, what we do is this. Rather than sort of looking at it in the context of a new way of life, we reduce it to an event. So again, the Holy Spirit is replacing the law, that we're going to live a life now full of the Spirit, a life yielded to and following the Holy Spirit. In the same way, if you were Jewish, what you wouldn't say is, okay, well, I decided one time I was going to follow the law, and so I've kept the law. You wouldn't say, okay, like, well, I kept the law that one time, so now, okay, I got it. I got the law. No, following the law was ongoing. In the same way, being filled with the Holy Spirit is ongoing. So many of us, what we do is this, we reduce it to an event. Okay, I got the Holy Spirit when I got saved. I got the Holy Spirit when I prayed to receive the Holy Spirit. Like, whatever it was, okay, I reduce it to, okay, I did this thing, and it's a sort of isolated event in my history. But what we have to understand is within the context of Pentecost, we're talking about a brand new way of life. We're talking about not a filling, but many fillings. We're talking about like not just an event, but an ongoing thing. And you find this throughout the New Testament. Notice that when the New Testament speaks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's talking about a lifelong event, something that continues on and on and on. Look, I'll give you some examples. Galatians 5:16. Here's what Paul says. He says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit." Walk by the Spirit. I mean, keep going with him, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Again, Paul writes this in Ephesians 5:18. "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead," look at this word, "be filled with the Spirit." Be filled. Just like they didn't go, okay, I followed the law, and so now I've got the law. No, for many of us, what we do is this. We go, all right, do I have the Holy Spirit? As though he can be confined to an event, like one time when you were 15 or whatever time it was, right? Okay, I got him. Check. Next. As though he's a notch in your belt. No, he is ongoing. His filling is continually throughout your life. Now, I really want to break this down because this goes against how many of us have been taught about the Holy Spirit. So, for instance, let's say you come from sort of a traditional, like evangelical or Baptist background or whatever, or just Protestant in general. What you were taught was this. Okay, you pray the prayer, right? Pray the prayer. Pray to receive Jesus. You've got the Holy Spirit. Check. Move on. Right? Okay, I did this thing, I got him. Now, if you're from a more legalistic thing, maybe for you it was, okay, get confirmation, get communion, get like christening, whatever it was. But it's, okay, you do this thing, and then you have the Holy Spirit. Now, then you, but maybe for some of you, you come from like a charismatic, like a Pentecostal background. So for you, you're like, okay, yeah, so it's more than one time, but you still get legalistic because for you, it's about not one event, but two. So you go like this, you go, all right, you pray to receive Jesus, and then you get a little bit of Holy Spirit for salvation. Right, just a little bit, like the indwelling part. But you think, all right, I'll pray again to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody will lay their hands on me or whatever it is, and then I'll receive him a second time, and this is what will empower me for life and ministry. This is how the traditional charismatic Pentecostal theology goes. Still, one event, two event, you're reducing the work of God. You're limiting it, and it's right here that we need to clarify something, okay? In doing this, we miss the point. In going, okay, the Holy Spirit you get at a time, you miss the idea of ongoing filling. You miss the idea of a life lived being filled with the Spirit of God. And so we split hairs. And what I want to challenge us to do today as a church, no matter where you are in this spectrum of your background, okay, maybe I received him when I was confirmed. Maybe I received him when I prayed the prayer. Maybe I received him like when somebody laid their hands on me. I don't know. Here's what I would say. Let's not split hairs over this. Let's just as a group agree we want the Spirit of God. Let's as a group just say, all right, Holy Spirit, listen, we are thirsty for you. And we're not going to limit you to an event in our past. We want you right here, right now. You know, it's kind of like this. I think this is tragic, you know. So many people are thirsty, and we're splitting hairs over smaller points of doctrine. You know, it'd be like this. Let's say, you know, I ask you a question. Hey, where's there a river? I'm desperate for water. And you go what's down the road. So you go there, and you go, hey, listen, are you curious where the river begins? You go, sure. And you go, okay, well, I think the river begins here at the mouth of the river. Still, another person comes along, and they go, well, actually, technically, no. If you were to sort of trace the beginning of the river, there's a wellspring where the water comes out of, and that's where the river really begins. And so another person comes up, and they go, well, yeah, but actually, if we're going to really trace the river back to its beginning, you know, the water that's in the wellspring came from rain, and it soaked down into the soil, and that's where the water comes out from. And still another person goes, well, yeah, but the water that's in the rain evaporated from the earth and went up, and it's just on and on and on and on. And I'm just looking at you going, I don't care, I'm just thirsty now. And for so many people, though, it's, okay, it was then, and you're missing it. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're going, like, well, no, I think it's just an isolated event, I'm going to use Scripture to disprove you right now. So if you're like, well, no, I know, because, like, okay, so if you're traditional, okay, well, no, the apostles received the Holy Spirit and were filled with him at Pentecost, and that was it. If you're charismatic, you're like, well, no, they were actually probably filled first when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, and then the empowering came at Pentecost. Okay, neat. Here's a third time. So if you're like, well, No, it's just those two. Let's break the events. Let's sort of get this idea home. Look at Acts chapter 4. So here's this story where Peter and John, they've been arrested for preaching about Jesus, and this remarkable event happens, and let's use this to understand filling of the Holy Spirit, ongoing. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. So what happens is this. Peter and John, they're arrested for talking about Jesus. The chief priests and the elders say, listen, we forbid you to preach in that name anymore. And because these are the very guys who had Jesus killed, Peter and John are a little afraid. You would be too. So they go back, and this is the prayer and faith, or the prayer and faith they say. Sovereign Lord, meaning God who is outside of time, God who is in control of everything. God, we're not outside of what you want to do right now, they said. You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Meaning, Lord, even before all this stuff happened, you said that it would. We're not outside of your control. We're still very much within your hand. And now they transition it to their period in history. Verse 27, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. I mean, Lord, you're still in control. We're scared, but you're still in control. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. And let's just pause there for a moment, difference of heart. How many of us, if we encounter hardship, if we encounter fear, if we're threatened for our faith, are going to pray to preach stronger? Wouldn't most of us just go, God, protect us? Right? Like, wouldn't that be prayer? Like, I encounter a hardship, like, God, keep me away from it again? Right? But for them, no, like, Lord, give us more boldness. This is more important than just us right now. The world is resting on this. So give your servants the ability to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And now right here, okay? Ongoing. Verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were, say this word with me, filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Wait, I thought they were filled at Pentecost. Yeah, they were. But they're filled right now. Yeah, they were. So which one is it? Okay, is it they were filled at Pentecost or they were filled in this moment? Yes. Yes. Why? Because the Holy Spirit being filled with him is a lifelong thing. As you walk with the Spirit, there are moments that you encounter where you need a refreshing of his presence. And here's the thing, okay? This is what happens in this moment, okay? The disciples, they encounter a hardship. They encounter an obstacle, and so they were filled again because they needed him. And the Lord is faithful to answer your prayers and mine. There are moments where we are made aware of our absolute need for God so that we pray in such a way that we have no choice but to depend on him to provide. And I promise you, he will come through every time. We've seen this in the life of our church. Have you forgotten? We shouldn't be here, right? Look, trace it back, man. We believe that the Lord was leading us here to this place, couldn't afford it. Couldn't. And then he brought so many of you in, and he brought the money in, and we were fine. And then as you can see right now, we're pretty full. And so we as a church prayed, Lord, would you provide? And he gave us 5 acres of land down the road to build, which in this area, kind of unheard of. But the earth is his. It's all his. And then, you remember the thing with my niece? This girl who's like the community is watching right now, who's been injured. And we prayed. And Easter Sunday, she sat up for the first time. And we prayed. And her arm that was paralyzed started working again. And hey, I just saw yesterday the hand and the fingers are working now. Yeah. do you understand that the Lord is faithful to take care of you and me? This isn't just a, oh, what a nice little neat magic trick. No, no, no. There's something bigger at stake. There are these moments where we face a crossroads. And the Lord goes, all right, I brought you here to fill you afresh so that my name can be glorified. And I believe we're at such a crossroads right now. Where the country that we're in, the church, the capital C that exists, is in desperate need of a movement of the Holy Spirit. Let me say how I get there. I look at America. And maybe it's because I'm a pastor, so I evaluate it through like a Bible worldview. I'm constantly sort of chewing on what's the spiritual climate, but I'm terrified for it. Because we have two extremes. All right? On the one end, there's this cynicism towards all things spiritual, and there's zero expectation for the actual God to do anything. Meanwhile, counterfeit stuff runs rampant. Witchcraft, you know, horoscopes. Also, I mean, like people have no problem expecting supernatural stuff from counterfeit fake gods. But for whatever reason, the people of God stand by and do nothing. That scares me. I mean, across the spectrum, you could go to the liberal end, which on one end emphasizes social justice and caring for the poor, which is awesome, but neglects morality and the things of God. You know, you being transformed and being obedient to what the Word says about your life goes out the window because you think, well, if I'm a good enough person, if I give enough to enough homeless people, it doesn't matter what I do behind the scenes. No, it matters. But then you go to the conservative end, and the exact opposite happens. And so it becomes about accrue for yourself, but make sure that you fit the Christian mold, and then we'll be fine with you. And there's a selfishness there. Neither are right. You go across the way. Who actually expects God to do anything? I mean, think about, listen, just in ministry, how do we evaluate if the Lord has done anything? We look at basically two things. Is the building full? And did things go well? Did somebody talk good? Was the music good? Man, how did you know that the Lord was there? Oh, I just liked the music. What? There's zero expectation for, like, the actual Jesus that we read about in this Bible to do anything. To the point where if we pray and God does something, we're actually surprised by it. Wow! Wouldn't have guessed that. Our strength as a movement, Christians, comes down to what we can produce ourselves. It comes down to, okay, is the speaker good? Is the band good? Did we draw a crowd? Atheists can do these things. Don't think that the Holy Spirit is here just because this church is growing numerically. No, 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 no. I mean, he's behind that, but no, he's much bigger than that. Look, I don't know what's going to happen because, unfortunately, what we've done in the church is we've invented a system that can be run without the Spirit of God and being dependent on him. I mean, look, can I just share my heart with you? What we're starting to see now, okay, so we've moved past the sort of traditional norms of church, whether that be, you know, just sort of everything's fine, don't worry about it, to we're going to crack a whip on you. And now what's emerging is this. It's a balanced theology in the sense of, okay, we get meet people where they are, that's great, but there's no dependence on the Spirit of God. So what's being birthed now is what we would call the production model of church. Where what happens is this, okay, it comes down to how do you craft the Sunday morning experience that will draw people who are far from God in and then they'll get saved? This is the thought, okay? You know, polish it, make it smell nice enough, put enough lights on the stage, make the band cranky enough, add some keypads and some synths behind things to sort of pull at the heartstrings. It's man-made, 100%. Listen, you know, like how is a church run? I mean, there are books out right now. Here's how you get people to give more. Twist their arms. Here's how you word things from stage. Okay, listen, we want to be a church that's successful. How entertaining are we? And I want to say this. I'm guilty of that. There have been moments where, you know, listen, at the end of the day, I just want to see people know Jesus, but there have been moments where I have cut corners as a leader, and I wasn't dependent on the Spirit of God, and here's why. My relationship with God wasn't great, and I thought, okay, listen, I can fake it. You know, if the lights are good enough, so I know I'm a pretty good talker. If I just have a polished enough message, they'll get here. What a horrible idol. No more. My prayer is that the Lord does something soon, because if he doesn't, I don't know what we're going to do. Not just us, but all of us. You know, as we're given the ability to grow in a relationship with God without actually growing in a relationship with God, the bride is being lulled to sleep. We match a culture of entertainment, right? With entertainment. We match a culture of, okay, listen, just watch whatever you want, and just kind of like, you just sort of fall asleep, and there's no sacrifice, and there's no surrender, and there's no yielding, and there's no listening for what the Lord is doing, and we've created enough of a system that we can get away with it. We can get away with the Holy Spirit actually not showing up, with us actually not listening for him. And I don't know what's going to happen unless God actually intervenes and does the real stuff to make us snap out of this funk and go like, oh yeah, he's real. Like, I don't know what's going to happen if we just are allowed to continue on and on and on in our own systems and our own religion and our own strength, because none of those things are the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that we need him to fill us afresh right now, and we shouldn't go forward if he doesn't, and we shouldn't be a church if he doesn't? What's the point of this if he's not here? And I look at these things and I see so many wonderful people that the Lord's bringing in. I see all of you, and you're all so talented, and I can see such great gifts in all of you, but my fear for you, and the thing that, I mean, I lose sleep over this, the thing that makes me weep over you is what happens if God gives you a place where you're allowed to just rest on your own strength. Not you. So here we are. We're in this place where we recognize, as the apostles did, that we need the Lord to act. We need him to pour out his Spirit on us afresh. We need him to stretch out his hand and perform signs and wonders against a cynical culture that you cannot argue with. We need Jesus again. And I have hope. I have hope that these problems that we encounter, which I believe have begun in the demonic, that are irrational, that come from the pits of hell, that we don't have the ability to fight on our own. I have this belief that even though those strongholds are there all around us right now, we're not outside of where God wants us to be. That maybe he's brought us to this moment to recognize this. And I believe that because it's in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, he writes this thing in 2 Timothy 3 that looks a lot to me like the culture and church that we've seen, that we've grown up in, that we've been. He says this in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. He says, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. And I'm not one of these guys who goes, hey, look, we're at the end of the world. I don't know. But I do know this, anything the Bible describes as terrible, I want to avoid. So here's what he describes as a terrible church. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of their money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Do these sound like the Christians that you and I want to be? And then he encapsulates it. And you tell me if this is not the church that we've lived in. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness. Okay, it looks a certain way. Okay, if you were sort of to evaluate the doctrine, it would check out biblically. But the power part of it, though, let's wait on the voice of the Lord. Let's see him stretch out his hand, denying that part. Is this not what we've seen? Right? Okay, we'll believe the right stuff. We'll emphasize the right teachings. We'll buy the books. We'll sell the t-shirts. We've got the great stuff. We've got the radio stations. We've got the product, okay? But the power part of it, absent. The thing that actually defines the movement of God on the earth in the book of Acts, as we've seen over the last month, not there. Would anyone argue that the church that we've known exists as we see when the Holy Spirit is poured out? You'd be a fool to. Having a form of godliness but denying its power have nothing to do with such people. And there is nothing in ourselves we can do to change this. I can't create a sermon ending enough that's going to make you suddenly be like, all right, now I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't just decide as a group, all right, God, we'll start doing miracles. We'll start prophesying. We'll start speaking in tongues. We'll start, like, we can't make those things happen in our own volition. And we shouldn't. But I have to believe that if we're recognizing it, the Lord wants to do something about it. And I have to believe that, okay, if we see, all right, form of godliness denying its power, gosh, that sounds a lot like everything that I've ever known. Okay, that, like the tension is there for the Lord to heal it and resolve it. Which is why today we're going to pray. We can't make anything happen on our own, and we shouldn't. And so we're going to hand this over to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to ask him to fill us again. And again, and again, and again. And I want to be clear about something when we do. That it was him. So I've been thinking this through, because what can happen in moments like this is we can just sort of like hype up the room emotionally and manipulate somebody. And I believe some of you, you're about to experience a reality of the presence of God that you did not know was possible for your life in this world. And when that happens, I want you to understand that it wasn't us, it was him. And so here's how I thought the best way to do that. You know, let's just put as many obstacles in the way of anything we could do as possible. Just like the Lord consumed the altar with water that was doused, I'm pretty sure he can consume the praises of a group of people and the prayers of a group of people without us having to manipulate that. So here's what we're going to do. If we're going to get rid of this system of relying on ourselves, in this moment, let's do a few things. Number one, how about we kill the mood in the room? The lighting is nice. The ambiance is pretty thrifty, but I think it's best if we turn the fluorescent lights up. So go ahead, Trace. You can hit those up. All right. Good. Let's just, oh, now it looks like a classroom. And man, Pastor Bert, you should have Stanley Steamered the carpets. I should. Good. Good. All right, how about this? let's mess with the atmosphere a little more for the person who's like, well, it's all about the environment that you create. Okay. Hey, Josh, could you do me a favor and turn off the AC? Let's make it uncomfortable and stinky in here. You think he needs it? You think he needs AC? I mean, like, hold on. Like, do you think he needs it? How about a step further? Okay, well, you know, in these moments, if this were to be like a really bold declaration and something that we would produce in ourselves, what we'd do at this point is we'd have the band come up on stage, and we all declare together, and we'd cry and sing Kumbaya, and we'd leave, and nothing would change. So, how about this? No band. They're not coming back up. Tell them how much you like them later. But, and so that you know that we're not sort of pumping anything subliminally through the speakers, let's turn the speakers off. Go ahead. You get the power there, guys? Hey, look at that. We've got nothing in ourselves right now. But he doesn't need it. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get off this stage, and we're going to pray. And we're going to ask the Spirit of God to fill us afresh today, to do the stuff that He does, not just for our sakes, but for the sake of the world. I believe everything rests on this moment. So let's take some moments here. When I feel like the Lord is saying, wrap it up, I'll get back up on the stage. I'll close this out in prayer. But I want you personally, right where you're sitting, to just cry out to the Spirit of God. Internally, externally, I don't care. Just seek Him as for a moment and ask Him to fill you afresh. And let's see what He does. Let's go for it.
If you decided to take your first steps today in your relationship with Jesus, let us help you. Visit our website at sawground.church/firststeps.